afternoon. We're into the afternoon, and we're well over 50. I think we're almost to 60 now, and good weather here in Marion, Ohio. And you're listening to A Progressive Life, and we have Dr. Feynman joining us. Hi, Dr. Feynman.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Did you happen to listen to any of the previous hour?
Yes, I heard that woman ranting and raving like a maniac.
Okay.
I agree with everything you said that you cut her off. It's ridiculous.
Well, I didn't understand what she was saying. What was she saying about Hillary? I didn't understand it.
People hate Hillary because I think they don't like her husband, which I can understand because Bill Clinton, I think, has a lot of negatives about him.
Sure.
But also because she's a strong, powerful, intelligent woman. They don't like that. And that's why Vladimir Putin doesn't like her either.
Okay. So that lady that called in, she's a very nice lady, by the way. She's called in several times, and I really enjoy listening to her. But when she gets onto the conspiracy theories and stuff like that, and goes and doesn't let anybody else talk, I had to cut her off.
Yeah, and this QAnon stuff, too. I mean, I'm telling you, people like that need to have a mental evaluation, I honestly think. You know, it's ridiculous.
I think the lady's fine. She's just been listening to the wrong people, that's all.
Well, but
or she's been listening to...
She's an adult. She's supposed to be responsible for what she says, you know, whatever.
Well, what do you think... How do you think we're doing as far as helping Ukraine out?
Well, I still think we should do more. I would do what Mitt Romney says. I would actually have a no-fly zone. I know it might get us into the war, but I think it's inevitable. I really think that, and I'm not a hawk, but I just think it's reality.
Both Scott and I were surprised that you said that last week. I really didn't think you would say that sort of thing.
Well, I never was. I'm not a war type person, but
yeah, I know
it's
not.
Clear to me that Putin is a threat to the world. He really is. And I think, you know, he's going to go further. Even if we don't do a no-fly zone, he's going to invade Poland or Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania. He's not going to stop.
Do you think he will? I mean, those countries you just mentioned, are they in NATO?
Yes, they're all in NATO, yes.
And now Biden says one toe into a NATO country and we will fight back.
And right now they were about, 11 or 12 miles away in bombing in northern Ukraine, so they're very close to the Polish border. Well, I think it's going to happen.
Don't you think that Putin is trying to, you know, kind of test the waters on that? Are you cutting it that close?
I'm certain he is.
Yeah.
He's a very evil man, and he's not someone who's going to just stop. I don't think he will. This, to me, is very much like World War II with Hitler. I really think so, that we waited too long to go in. In fact, we didn't go in because of Hitler. We went in because of Japan, but I think we should have gone in earlier to help the British in 1940.
Well,
but, of course, politically, it was hard to do with that. Today, it's less difficult. There are people against it, like Fox News Channel and Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. People like that should face arrest and prosecution. They're traitors to the country.
Well, that's kind of what the lady said about Hillary.
Well, there's no comparison there. She's not a traitor.
Okay, now, if Putin decides that he's going to push the button, is there anybody behind Putin, like we had people here behind Trump, who really had kind of got together military people and said, no, we're going to have to talk about this if he decides to.
I don't know, obviously, but I am sure there are people behind him, and I think there are a lot of people who are behind him, including the oligarchs, who are having second thoughts about him.
Right.
And I think there's a chance that he might suddenly be removed from power. I hope so.
Thrown out of a window, like has happened to some of Putin's...
I just can't believe there's anybody who doesn't think he's going too far, but they're not going to tell him that, obviously.
Yeah.
They're going to have to conspire against him behind the scenes. I think that's not something impossible to imagine.
I am shocked at the number of oligarchs, who have actually come out and said something about it.
Yes, and also now, you know, because of that brave young woman who was on TV yesterday on the Russian TV channel.
With the sign,
and also because no matter how much you cut out communications, still some of it goes through. I think a lot of people in Russia are very upset because, after all, the economy's in a massive tailspin. The stock market's closed. McDonald's is closed.
Yeah.
And so many other companies. I mean, how can people not react to this? And I think you can't arrest everybody. I really think that he's a desperate man, and he's hopefully on his way out.
Now, whatever happened to Radio Free Europe and Radio Free this place and that place? Do we still have something like that?
I think we do. I'm not actually sure. I never hear much about it. I really don't have the answer to that. I have to look it up. In fact, while I'm talking to you, I will look that up to see if it still exists. I don't really know. Never really thought about that in recent times because it was never really an issue we always coexisted with right. Russia.
Well, now, that was a thing that really had some clout, not as much as we would have liked it to.
Yeah, it still exists. Yeah, it does still exist.
Does it?
It does still exist, but I don't know whether it's able to get through because of this crackdown on all media and everything. I'm not sure how well it's getting through, but probably it is a bit.
Didn't they broadcast on shortwave, which is very hard to jam? I believe.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm sure some stuff is getting through, but I think the Russian people are starting to realize that they're losing all their own freedoms. Because even under him, there was some freedom in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's been really cracked down upon. So I think he's in hysteria, and I think he realizes he's not winning in Ukraine. He's doing a lot of damage, but he so far in 3 weeks has really done a pitiful job. The military has not done well.
Well, they've kind of stalled out. The only reason why he's doing what he's been able to do is he can lob in missiles. And
that's why we need to have a no-fly zone.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure I'm ready to tie in with you, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden was supposed to be speaking around this hour. I don't know what he's going to say, but he's making a speech, I think, just around now, because I hadn't seen it yet, so I guess it got delayed. But I think we need to take a bold jump into more direct involvement, I really think. And I think NATO needs to also. Not because I want it. It's not like I'm looking forward to it, but I just think it's inevitable. It's going to happen anyway.
Do you think, were you able to listen to what Zelensky said this morning?
Oh, yes, yes.
Was he good?
He's a very courageous guy. The Jewish Winston Churchill, he's been called.
Oh, my. It's hard for a lot of people to understand. He is Jewish, and for a long time, the Jews in Europe were really looked down on, in Ukraine, I believe, as well, weren't they?
Well, Ukrainian Jews were massacred both by Stalin and then by Hitler.
That's what I thought.
And there's not very many comparatively Jewish people today in Ukraine, but 120 years ago when my grandparents came here, they were, you know, it was a very large percentage, about one-third of the population of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Huh. An awful lot of them were massacred. I'm glad my grandparents came here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on this show today.
Yeah, you wouldn't be anywhere today.
That's right. And it's horrible what happened to them with both Stalin and Hitler.
Well, now, do you think that the Ukrainian people can continue to put up the fight that they have been putting up?
I think they're determined to remain independent. You know, they broke away in 1990, 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed. They didn't want to be under Russian control, and they agreed to give up nuclear weapons because there were nuclear weapons there as part of the Soviet Union, and that's why we have to defend Ukraine at all costs, no matter what it means. And I do think that they want to be part of NATO, but I think it was reluctance to do so because they bordered directly on Russia. They were part of Russia, so that's why it's been a slow process, and it's going to take time, but I don't think we should let Putin tell us who can be allies or who can be part of NATO.
Yeah, I understand.
That's not his right to do.
Now, I don't think that before this war broke out, I don't really think Ukraine and NATO had gotten together yet, and weren't. I don't think they were in friendly talks yet, were they?
Well, they were allied. You know, they were involved in different groups, you know, connected to the European Union.
Yeah.
But they're not members of it. I think it's because of the delicacy, of being right on the Russian border. And you know, they are the largest country in Europe outside of Russia. But Russia is also in Asia. It's an amazingly large country.
Yeah, that's always surprised me. And when this war started, I learned a lot about the geography of Ukraine. I was shocked to hear that they were the second largest country.
And I believe they're larger than Texas, or just about this. I think a little larger than Texas.
That's kind of interesting. And Texas is huge. I will be driving across it here in about 2 weeks.
Yes, so you're going to be going.
Yeah, we're going to go. We've decided to go. Now, we haven't decided how we're going to go yet, whether we're going to buy a new RV or whether we're going to take our old car and keep our fingers crossed. But
how old is your car?
It's an 07, I think, 08, something like that. And the RV that we're looking in at is even older, but it has about half the mileage on it that our
car has. 07, 08, that's really an old car. Boy, you don't want to get stuck on the way going or coming back.
Yeah, we will have it checked before we leave.
Yeah, well, of course, but yeah. Oh, well. Well, I wish you a good trip, but again, unfortunately, because you had told me about that, I arranged on the 30th, we're going to lunch with somebody, so I will not be able to be on, no matter who's hosting, but I can on the 7th, the 6th, 13th, and 20th, so you have to let me know about whether I'm going to be part of that.
Well, I've passed that on along to Scott, and Scott's probably listening right now, but...
Scott's going to be hosting, and I'll be glad to be on with him for the 6th, 13th, and 20th, if he wants.
And I'm not sure that he's actually made up his mind how he's going to handle it. He's kind of in an unusual spot right now, where his doctor has told him he isn't supposed to get close to people that might give him a contagion thing.
May I ask this? Maybe you don't want to answer me. You could write me. Does he have COVID?
No, he doesn't have COVID.
He doesn't. Okay, I'm just concerned
really
now
sure
because he's still at home.
Yeah, I'm not sure quite what it is, but no, he doesn't have COVID.
Oh, boy.
So he's all right. In
well,
that.
If he's available and he wants me to do it, you know, I'll be glad to do it.
He's feeling fine, as a matter of fact. It's just, some of the medicines he's taking right now might not react well, apparently, to people that might have COVID. So, you know, it's they're being... very cautious on the side of saving, not getting him sick. And that's the best thing to do. How about all the people, like Obama now has come up with COVID? That's kind of, he's had all of his shots, including his booster.
And the second gentleman, Harris's husband, also has COVID.
That's right. And that just came up yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second gentleman, that sounds funny, doesn't it?
Yep.
I like it, but it does sound funny.
What's ironic is that everybody's taking off their masks, and I have stopped wearing the mask to my class now.
Yeah.
And because everything seems much better, but then suddenly we learn about China has problems, and Germany has problems.
And it's a new strain.
Harris's husband has it, and so does Barack Obama. So I'm wondering if I'm going to have to put it back on, but I'm so, loosened on that issue now because it is very low now.
I still wear mine to most places where I go, like in stores and grocery stores and that sort of thing. I still wear mine, but I am getting a lot of strange looks from people for wearing my... I was in the grocery store last week, and I got two or three people looking at me like, you really don't need to have that mask on, but none of the grocery store people had their mask on, but it does two things. It helps me feel better about myself.
Yes.
It helps me feel better about not spreading something to somebody
else.
Yeah,
one thing I want to say, though, that is funny is you see a lot of cars passing, one person in the car is driving and has a mask on. That's a little ridiculous.
If
you're alone in the car, why do you have to wear a mask?
Only in Florida.
You think it's only in Florida?
I've never seen that up here in Maryland.
It's so ridiculous.
A little strange.
There's nobody with you. When you're with people, maybe, but not when you're alone.
When I get inside the door, I am thrilled to take the mask off. My car is a COVID-free zone.
You hope, but don't forget it's microscopic. You don't really know that.
Well, I don't let anybody in my car that's got it. And my wife, she is so... she wears a mask to shower.
Who's that?
I'm sorry?
Who wears a mask in the shower?
My wife.
You're not your joke.
I'm being facetious. But she wears it everywhere. So
oh, my gosh.
I don't think
that's
I have
funny.
To worry about COVID in my car. And I know Buddy, my
he doesn't wear a mask.
He doesn't wear a mask, and I'm not afraid of that. What he does need to do is have a bath, though. He's starting to stink a little.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you think of all the people that are volunteering to go? I think I heard 20,000 people have already volunteered.
Well, I admire them. You know, I respect their decision. It's scary in a way, particularly if it's someone you know, because that makes it more personal. But I think it's great, you know, because this is a menace to the world, what's going on. It's not just to Ukraine. You know, it's scary as hell, but we can't be afraid to take action.
And I know your son is older than what you would normally think would be doing that, but what would you think if your son said, hey, Dad, I'm going over to Ukraine?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Well, I would support him, of course, but I wouldn't be happy about it, of course, but.
And yet, I just heard last night, they aren't going over there just for one fight. They are signing up for a year. You can't go over there just to fight. You have to sign up for a year.
Well, I didn't hear that. I want to ask you, if you were back to when you were young, and you were not in the military at the time, but do you see yourself going there, or you were not?
I am. Not only am I ignorant, but I'm scared to death. I'm a coward. So no.
Well, you were in the military, though.
Yeah, not because I wanted to be.
Oh, I see. So you were not a volunteer. I see.
I don't think I would have volunteered, but I am mad enough now that. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think I have the guts to
see. I don't see myself as volunteering to go, because I guess I'm a bit of a fraidy cat in that sense, you. But it's just, I think realistically, this is a threat to the world. So I think this is much more important than anything since the Cuban Missile Crisis.
I guarantee you, though, I'd be on the front line of protests against Russia. I would do that. And I respect the young lady that jumped onto the television and with her sign. I don't think I would have gone that far, but I would have. I think if I were in Russia or someplace like that, I would join in the protests.
Interestingly, everybody who's protesting has been arrested, pretty much. They say, even if they hold a sign up, they don't say anything.
Yeah.
And so that's the danger of an authoritarian society, and I believe that Donald Trump was going down that route, that he is the Putin in this country, and that he has to be stopped from being able to run or win the presidency again. And the same thing with all the people on Fox News, they're authoritarian, fascist-oriented people, very dangerous.
Now, I don't go quite as far as you go on that. I wouldn't say he must not run. I hope the American people are smart enough to realize, but after listening to that lady today, I'm not quite so certain that everybody is that smart, but...
And the problem is, there's still people who are stuck in their own little alternative universe, and they think Trump is wonderful, when if he was in office now, we would be supporting Putin. Can you believe that? And we would not be in NATO. He was pushing us out of NATO. He had actually finished it, but he was very disrespectful at NATO meetings.
I can't understand how so many people can support his position with Putin, and now how many people really are kind of supporting Putin, especially...
Well, Tucker Carlson saying that he has nothing against Putin, and he says he hasn't caused me trouble. You know, I don't remember the exact language he's used, but I listen to that, and I say, this man is a traitor, and he needs to be arrested and prosecuted because he's undermining American national security.
That's
I think people
happen.
Like him are very dangerous.
That's why we have freedom of speech. I'm in favor of letting him shoot his big mouth off, and people like you and me saying he's shooting his big mouth off and he's nuts.
Yes, but the thing is, he has a great impact as far as millions of people, and what he's doing is poisoning the country in a time when we should have unity against Putin.
Yeah, but we have people like Rachel Maddow and people like Lawrence...
O'Donnell,
who are... basically saying, Tucker, you're an idiot.
True.
And that's what freedom of speech is all about. And I hate that people scream fire in a theater, but really, you probably have the right to do it.
Well, you have a right to scream. You don't have a right to scream fire in a crowded theater without prosecution if there's no fire.
That's what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have the right to say anything you want and not be prosecuted. It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
There are limits on freedom of speech.
Yeah, but the limits are so vague. Freedom of speech, you can argue for days and never quite figure out where you stand on freedom of speech.
That's true, yeah.
The KKK should have freedom of speech. But we all hate people that talk like that. So, well, we don't all hate people because there are a lot of people that go
along.
Yeah,
it's just people like that in a time of danger like now, I think, are much more scary and terrifying because they're undermining our ability to defend ourselves, I think.
But I think there are people like you that are telling people, wake up. And
yes,
that's why I think it's freedom of speech is fine. I also believe we had, and boy, I listen to Fox about once or twice a week just so I know what they're saying, but I really hate listening to them. But I think without the freedom of press, I think we are hurting ourselves because the freedom of press is really the fourth leg of our government, I think. So, because they're the ones that tell us what we should know, you know, because I don't think Trump would have told us what we should know. I'm not even sure that Biden would, but I hope he will. But
yeah, all I know is I'm thankful that we have Joe Biden in office now, not Donald Trump.
I am too. I think he is an honest person. I think he will tell us what he needs to. As a matter of fact, what do you think about Joe Biden as open as he is with, you know, things that maybe should be kept secret? But he's doing it so that Putin won't miscalculate what's going on. I think that's why he's doing it.
Yes. No, I think the way he's handling it is good. The only thing is I wish he would agree to a no-fly zone. That's the only thing. There I'd agree with Mitt Romney, who I don't agree with a lot, but I do on that. But no, I think he's handled it very well. And, you know, I know people who think, oh, he's the worst person to have in office now because he's 79. Who gives a damn about his age? Yeah. He knows what he's doing. He knows foreign affairs. He's been involved in government a long time. He knows Putin. He met him and even told him, you know, that he could see he didn't have a soul.
Yeah.
And Putin says, you know, you figured me out or something like that.
Like that,
the two men understood each other. I think it's the perfect person, and I think he's underestimated, always has been, ridiculed a lot, but I think he's going to go down in history as an outstanding president.
Well, now, you say you're in favor of a no-fly zone. Let me dig into that a little bit. How do you do a no-fly zone without shooting down planes, or do you go ahead and shoot down planes that come into it?
I think whatever has to be done to defend Ukraine, you do.
Okay.
And if it leads to invasion into Poland or Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania or whatever, so be it. Then we have to go into war and we have to send troops, and so does everybody else. I still say that all the nations together will triumph over Russia.
Well, I
think not that advanced in their military. They really aren't.
I hope we, and I wonder how old all these nuclear weapons are that both the United States and Russia have. Do they even work anymore?
I honestly think it's just a threat. I don't think he's crazy enough, even though he's a horrible person, to do it, you know, because it would be mutual assured destruction, as they call it, MAD, M-A-D. I don't see him doing that. I think it's just a threat.
So, this no-fly zone, I'm going to dig into this a little further. You would have, like, air cover from all the NATO nations around Ukraine, protecting that, you know, not allowing anybody to fly into that.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
All right, that kind of takes my breath away. It's a little scary to think about.
I could be Secretary of Defense, maybe.
Okay.
Not that I want to be. I'm just kidding.
That would be a horrible. That would be the last.
You can't get over that. I'm not a peacenik. I think you can't believe that, can you?
No, I can't. I really can't. And I am kind of a peacenik. Okay.
I've had discussions with students. The students are more cautious than I am.
Well, you and I are old enough that if we get blown off the face of the map, it's not going to do too much difference. But
yeah, it could be that they're thinking, but oh my God, I might have to go in the military.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
Yeah,
but I think we have to think of what's good for the future, you know. And by the way, I want to make a statement. What Scott said about Iraq is true, but not true. That
okay.
We attacked Iraq, but Iraq, we thought or were told and misled, had weapons of mass destruction. Now it turns out they didn't, but that was the motivation, that it was a threat to national security. So we did attack, that's true, but it's because of that belief that there were weapons of mass destruction.
All right.
So he's correct, but he's not correct, meaning there's a reason why we did it, because of the belief. Now, it was a lie, which is horrendous, and even, you know, co Colin Powell said it without knowing that he was lying. But the point is, we had an excuse to attack.
Okay. You know, I'm just totally confused about what I really feel about all this.
I'm not saying I'm happy.
Yeah.
Happy about the whole thing. But I think Putin is a threat to the world at large. And, of course, God forbid if China joins them, oh, my God.
Yeah, do you think they will?
That's really scary, you know.
Now, Biden's kind of asked, is it Xi? His name?
Xi, yeah.
He's asked him to not support Russia. Do you think that'll work?
If I could know for sure, I think China has enough of its own issues right now.
I think so too.
But the only thing is that if we give in and let Russia get away with what they're doing, that could be a way for him to decide, Xi, that he could just take over Taiwan without any. We won't do anything. Now, there, I don't know what we can do if he does attack Taiwan. I just don't know. It's a scary world we live in. It's like back in the 20th century, World War II. You know, then it was Japan and Germany and Italy. Now it's Russia and China, and also
North Korea
is another threat there, and Iran. It just never ends. There's always nations that are going to make us have to deal with national security and international affairs. We can't avoid it. Every president has to deal with it.
Do you think the Russian oligarchs will put enough pressure on Putin to make him adjust this stance?
Well, I can't know for sure, but I would hope they would, because they're really being, harmed, and everybody in Russia, I mean, they're in worse shape, but that's the kind of thing that can lead to uprisings. No matter how much you have control, you can't control everybody. So we had the Russian Revolution in 1917. We had the Soviet collapse in 1991. So don't say it can't happen.
Yeah, now, they had a protest, I don't know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, right at the beginning of the Ukrainian war.
Yes.
And they arrested a lot of those people, but they've had protests there since then. And you'd think once they started putting a hammer down on those people, the protests would cease, but they haven't. I mean, they're not quite as strong, but...
I think it's very courageous anybody to do this when they know they're going to get arrested and could have 15 years in prison, assuming that Putin stays in power. Isn't that a horrifying thing? It's just unbelievable, really.
Now, I did notice that young lady who ran onto the TV set and with the sign only got 2 years. I think it was.
Well, I didn't even know that. I thought she only got fined, but she actually got 2 years. I guess that happened since I heard about it.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
I heard that she had to pay a fine, which is minor, I think, it's going to start having an effect, because people are going to be very unhappy about what's going on, and yet the same point is it's crazy because of the lack of information. There are people who have Ukrainian and Russian relatives, both families. It could be Ukrainian and Russian. And where you have Russian relatives and who don't know what's going on, they think it's not a war. And the Ukrainian relatives, like a son and father, they're fighting because the son is saying it's a war here, and the Russian father says, no, there isn't. Right. So it's really a weird situation, but it's got to start filtering down through society in a way that is going to undermine the Russian government.
Now, do you know, were your relatives, your Ukrainian relatives?
Yes, my ancestors were from Odessa.
Russians? Did they speak Russian?
It was Russian, I guess, in 1900, but it's Ukrainian territory.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why, technically, I've always thought my background was Russian, or Eastern European Jewish, but it's actually Eastern European Ukrainian,
Yeah, huh. So you think they spoke Russian, though? Or did they speak... Is there a Ukrainian language?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Honestly, my grandparents died when I was 10, and I visited them, but I think they probably knew Russian, but they might have... I don't know. They might have known Ukrainian. I really don't know, to be honest, because I was just too young, But they were in the United States from about the turn of the century until they both died 7 weeks apart. Imagine this. And get this, 7 weeks apart in 1955 at 6:15 in the evening on a Monday, exactly 7 weeks apart. Can you imagine that?
At the same time?
That. 7 weeks apart on a Monday night, 6:15, they both passed away.
That's a little spooky. Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Isn't that amazing? The timing and all that,
Now, my wife's grandparents spoke Czechoslovakian right up to when they passed away. They got a newspaper out of Chicago that was written in Czechoslovakian. And,
now, well, definitely, I know my grandparents spoke English, but I think with an accent when I think back, but I was only 10, so I didn't have that much communication with them.
Yeah, well, Grandma Makovsky did have an accent, and she did sound like she came from Eastern Europe. But nice, roly-poly, sweet babushka lady. I loved her a lot. We had a great time, and, you know, she passed away when, just after, not too long after my wife and I were married, so it's... It was interesting to know.
So in other words, your wife knew them longer than I did with my grandparents.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said your wife knew her grandparents longer than I knew my grandparents.
Absolutely, yeah. My wife and I were married when Grandma Makovsky passed away. Now, Grandpa Makovsky was gone before we got married.
However, they were married 50 years. They had a 50th wedding anniversary.
Great.
That was nice. And a few months later, they passed away. But they did make 50 years, which was quite good at, you know, the first half of the 20th century, you know.
I'm at 52, so I got them beat, but we are living a little longer.
Well, they were in the early 70s, but that was pretty good for people born in about 1880.
Yeah, sure.
It was pretty good, and also having been in Ukraine and Russia until they came over as immigrants, you know, and the struggles. And I know, for instance, at one point they had 7 children, including my mother, and 4 of them had appendix operations at the same time. I don't know why, but I've learned this, and it was like crazy, but maybe it's because one had it, they decided to do for all 4 of them. I don't know. It's some kind of lack of understanding of medicine, but they had health care bills. They couldn't, there was no health care, and they had to pay it out of their own pocket, and it was, I gather, a real struggle for what I've heard through the family, boy.
I imagine it would have been, because there was no Medicare back then, or anything.
No, of course not. But of course, Ronald Reagan told us it was socialism.
Yeah,
he didn't want it. People keep on forgetting that about, you know, I do as long as I have it, meaning if you're well-to-do, who cares about anybody else? I've never understood why people were opposed to Medicare or Social Security, but leave it to conservatives and Republicans, they're always against it, except they still accept it, don't they?
I was watching a show on YouTube. I watch, since I do not read very much and do not read very well, I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube, and one of the things I was watching was the difference between Marxism, socialism, communism, and some other ism, and what the differences were. And basically, it came away from it all saying nobody really knows what the differences are.
Well, if you go by Marxism, it's the theory of Karl Marx, which has never been followed all the way through,
right.
You know. He didn't talk about it being in China or Cuba. He talked about it being about industry, but even in Russia, it came about an agricultural society,
right.
Much more agricultural.
I remember
Russia and China was totally different than what Marx would have wanted, you know.
I remember lessons that I had talking about the 5-year plans that they had in Russia, and how quite often they failed miserably.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting. But I was raised in the United States, and maybe the reason why I was told they failed miserably is because my teachers were given that propaganda to pass on to us. Do you believe that we ever used propaganda here in the United States?
Are you kidding? Of course we did. We always, in previous years, promoted patriotism above reality, and that's starting to happen again now in Florida with Ron DeSantis not wanting us to learn about what happened to African Americans and Native Americans and other groups that have been discriminated against, because it might make some people feel bad.
He's a sick
puppy. Which is preposterous.
I hate to say that, but he seems like a sick puppy. All right, let's talk about our gas prices. You know, our gas prices are going up. We do have an increase in inflation. The right is blaming Biden, and
the president, who it is, has nothing to do with gas prices.
it's all the international
oil market. He has no control whether his name is Trump or Clinton or Obama or Bush 2 or or Biden. But by the way, I just want to point out, two weeks ago when I filled up gas, it was $3.59. It went up to $4.19.
Yeah.
And I gather it may have gone up a little bit more since, but I haven't had to get it since. What have been the prices you've been paying?
We're around Marion, it's around $4.09, $4.05, something like that.
Yeah.
And like I've seen quite often on the internet, I'm willing to pay that kind of price. It's
a small price to pay considering the situation.
Yeah.
And people, meanwhile, will go to Starbucks and spend $10 on coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll have these big cars that eat up gas when they don't have to.
Right.
So who are they to complain at all?
Now, my wife and I, are considering driving to California. And we're going to use about $149 each way in gasoline, from the way I can figure it out. And a couple of weeks ago, it was $113. So it's gone way up. But I want to see my son. I'm willing to pay that price, and I have the money to pay for it. But we don't buy Starbucks coffee. We don't go to
Starbucks.
Neither do
I. I'm just giving an example.
That
people will splurge on. Some people have to go out to lunch every day when they're at work. Why can't you take lunch with you?
Yeah.
And not spend on it. People splurge. Just like when I go to fill up gas, people are buying cigarettes. Why are you smoking after all the news we have about tobacco? Why are you doing that? And why are they always getting all kinds of snacks that just make you gain weight?
Yep.
They waste a lot of money on a lot of things, you know?
Now, I'm no skinny mini. I'm not even close to a thin anything. but I will not buy those stupid snacks that they put at the counters when you're checking out a gas station.
I see people buying all kinds of junk food, and some of them are heavy, and even if they're not, I'm saying, look, think of how much money you're spending, but they complain about the gas price.
Yeah, you pay a buck and a quarter for a small candy bar, or you pay $5 for a very small bag of popcorn. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I've seen people who are coughing, and it's obviously tobacco cough, and they're buying cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's insane. It really is.
Now, being a former cigarette smoker, I smoked for about 12 years when I was young.
What age were you then?
From age 12 to age 27, so about 15
what
years.
What made you stop? I'm glad you did. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't.
My baby son was born, and I was leaning over him in his crib, and the ash fell off my cigarette and fell on his face. And that
was
last.
She did tell me that. Yeah, and your wife must have been furious, huh?
No, she wasn't there.
But when she found out?
No, I never told her.
Oh, but now she's heard it.
She's heard
she
it
ever
since
smoke?
Then. Huh?
Did she ever smoke?
No.
Did she ever say you before you stopped, why are you smoking?
She hated that I smoked, yeah.
Oh, okay, but she couldn't get you to stop. And
no.
If this hadn't happened, which fortunately didn't become a problem, you probably would have kept on smoking.
Yeah,
huh?
I probably would have, yeah.
And you wouldn't be on the show today with me.
I might be in cancer ward or something. Well, you could be
seriously, I mean,
anyway, but
to smoke today, even if you started, at least you stopped.
Yeah.
But, I just don't understand people, how they do things that are harmful to their health, you know?
Well, when I started, remember, all the very famous actors, John Wayne, they all smoke.
I never liked John Wayne,
well,
by the way, you know, but I understand the actors, yeah.
And so I wanted to look cool like that. And,
yeah.
I did look cool until that particular incident happened, and then I thought,
it's a sad situation, but luckily it happened, and nobody was hurt, and at least you learned from it. That was good.
Yeah, and
Didn't your wife ask you why you stopped smoking, if you didn't tell her?
No, I told her about every week that I was going to stop smoking.
When you finally stopped, she didn't ask you why you were stopping?
No, because I told her so many times I was going to. I think she probably assumed I really wasn't going to stop, but I did.
Wow.
And I did it pretty much cold turkey because of that.
Wow.
However, I did allow myself a couple cigarettes a week, but I wouldn't allow myself to inhale. And really, pretty quickly, I didn't really care whether I had a cigarette or not.
Did you ever tell your son what happened? Or you never told him?
I've told him, yeah. I've told her. Everybody in my family knows the tale of Papa.
So what did your son say about the fact that he could have become a victim?
I don't think he really...
What?
I don't think he really cared.
He didn't become a victim.
He was a year old.
My goodness. This is the son in California, right?
No, the one in Worthington.
Oh, the one in California is younger. Yeah, I see.
He never smoked while he was young.
Does he smoke?
No. No.
Oh, okay, does anybody in your family smoke?
No. But both my brother and sister died of related things to their smoking, so...
Oh, and they died years later after he would stop smoking.
Oh, yeah. Years and years later. Yes, yeah.
Thought, oh wow, he must have realized, huh?
Yeah, I guess. But I really never even thought about that sort of thing. I just after I quit smoking, I really felt better, and I
yeah,
tell
well,
I felt
of course,
better.
Yeah.
And I was an athlete at the time, and you know, it's really
yeah, athletics and smoking. That's I mean, it may be people do, but that's not a very good combination.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, if you go to football practice and you have to have a cigarette in between while you're taking a break, that's not a good thing. So, anyway, I did not. Anyway, okay, where were we going to go? Oh, so you and I agree that no matter whether it's President Trump or President Biden or President Carter or whoever, have very little to do with whether there is inflation or not.
No, but it's a political thing that everybody uses. I'm not going to say only the Republicans are using it. Democrats would use it against George W. Bush, for instance, when the prices were high. It's just a political, you know, a political gift. You know, both sides use it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it reality, no.
And they all use it when the inflation is low. There, look what I did. I cut that back inflation.
Yes, and the point is the economy with the stock market until very recently, at least with Ukraine, has been doing very well, and also the job unemployment rate has been way down, and the number of jobs created has been massive. So except for this inflationary spiral, which I don't think is going to last, actually he has a great economy, considering he's been in office only 14 months.
He does have a great economy. Okay, let's get on with this. What in the world is going on with this nutcase we call Trump? He goes and has these weekly meetings, what do you call them, rallies, I guess, and tells them all the same old crap that's been proven wrong, and the people in the background are screaming and yelling, yes.
Yeah, but you know something? I can't be sure, but I've been told by many that a lot of the people in the background are paid to be there and to cheer.
Well, I'm not going to believe that until I actually see the paycheck, but I could understand that, but I'm not so certain that the other side hasn't paid people to be on the stage.
True. The one thing I found interesting, a lot of the times at these rallies, you see a lot of people who you would think would not be Trump supporters, a lot of African-Americans and Hispanics. I'm not saying there are none that support him, but I'm thinking, are these people put there to, you know, to give a misleading understanding about Trump? I have a feeling that these people are paid, because I can't believe they really believe.
Well, I don't think there are as many people as you think that are... minorities that they're there, but I'll tell you one thing. I was supporting Obama, and I went to two different rallies where Biden spoke here in Marion.
Yeah.
And when I got there, there were a lot of questions asked, and one of the things was that I had been working for the Obama campaign. I was immediately put on the stage behind Joe Biden, and I'm sure they do that if they see an African American at a Trump campaign event. They're going to ask him, you know, a few questions, find out that he is truly a Trump supporter. They're going to put him right behind Trump because
true.
They want you
but
to see
supposedly they're being paid to, is what the story is.
No,
paid
I
to be there, paid $50, $100.
I wasn't paid to do to that.
What's that?
I wasn't paid to stand behind Biden, but they did kind of select me because they knew that I was supporting, I had actually worked on the Obama campaign, so...
I don't know, but it just amazes me the ignorance of so many people that they still believe the myth about 2020, when actually 2016, there's no question in my mind that Trump was helped by Putin. And the argument is maybe Putin is holding out hope that Trump will come back and that he will embrace him and back away from what's going on right now.
I don't think Putin hopes about anybody. I think he just, what's the best deal for me and I'll move on.
No, also, supposedly he doesn't have the best of health. They've said he doesn't look so good. He is 69 years old. He's not a kid anymore. So he's not in quite the shape he once was. So it could be the stress of this maybe will shorten his life, which would be a blessing.
Well, you know, I am a, like you've kind of pointed out, I am kind of a pacifist. I do not believe in the death penalty. But if there were an assassination to go on, the only one I probably would support is the assassination of Putin.
And yes.
There are probably a couple others like him.
Well, the Saudi crown prince is very evil.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either, and I wouldn't mind, what's that guy's name in...
Kim Jong-un, too, in North Korea, yeah.
There are probably three or four of them that I wouldn't even blink an
eye. And don't think that we aren't probably trying to figure out a way to get rid of some of these people,
but
you know, we don't know about it.
Yeah. I would think
just like the other side, probably is. So certainly, our leadership is in danger too.
Well, how many times have they tried to kill Zelensky over in Ukraine?
Many times, and he's been offered a way out by the U.S. government. I just hope that he does survive all this because he's a real hero.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, and I think all the people here in the United States ought to be proud that he established a. Democracy there, and I think we ought to work harder to make our democracy stronger.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
Yeah,
so we have 1 minute. I see.
What are you going to tell me before we get out of here?
Well, just point out that it's the greatest refugee crisis now. 3 million people.
Wow.
It's an amazing problem, particularly for Poland and lesser for Hungary.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something that the world's going to have to deal with. We're going to have to let refugees in, but we always have the nativists, particularly among Republicans, who don't want people coming from other countries. But we need to let them in, and we have to be thankful that they can contribute to American society.
I am so proud of all the Eastern European countries around Ukraine that have done that in good conscience. Hey, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, see you next week, though, okay?
All right. Next
Thanks
week.
So much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doctor. All right. We'll be out of here.
You're
and,
listening to WWTH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place.